look into God's Word, I would like to look at maybe the second part of my sermon, which I started last week. How can you pray for your church? Part 2. And my text is taken from Colossians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 9 to verse 12, even though I'll be focusing more on verses 9 to 11. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Now, last week, as I started to look at Paul's prayer, we saw that in the beginning of Paul's prayer, he gave thanks to the Lord for the Colossians, and particularly for the work or the success of the gospel among the saints in the city of Colossae. Paul was in prison when he was writing this letter, and he heard about the situation in the city of Colossae, how the gospel was proclaimed and the people were growing, they were loving one another and loving other Christians. And so Paul writes this letter to encourage them. And he also wrote to kind of deal with a number of heresies that were being taught in the church at Colossae. So he also writes to correct some of these heresies. But Paul begins this letter with a beautiful prayer. So in the second part of this prayer, Paul is saying here that he is praying for the Christians at Colossae that, and here is a summary of his prayer, that they may know God's will and do it. That's the essence of his prayer. That's the essence of the request of his prayer for the church at Colossae, that they would know God's will and that they will do it. So how can we pray for our church? Well, the first thing I want to say is that when we pray for our church, we should first of all be informed about our church's circumstances. We cannot pray effectively if we do not know what's happening in the life of the church. So notice what Paul says in verse 9. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it. Right? So Paul heard of the conditions in the church at Colossae, and that was the reason why he prays for them. That was the motivation behind his prayer. You notice in verse 4, Colossians chapter 1, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. So that's what he heard from Epaphras, the one who actually founded the church at Colossae. Paul heard that the gospel was very effective. The Colossians believed in the gospel, and the gospel was very effective in their lives because they were demonstrating love for one another. That's what he heard. That's what he knew. And then he prayed. So if we are to actually pray for our church, or if we are to pray for someone else, we must know of their circumstances. We must know what's going on, what's happening. We must know what's happening in the church's maybe financial situation, maybe in our various ministries, right? We can call a friend, call a brother and sister and ask, you know, what's happening in this department of the church? What's going on in the children's ministry or in the latest ministry or the men's ministry or any ministry in the church? So we must have the information, as it were, to motivate us and to make it the ground of our prayer for our church. And so you see, that's the reason why church attendance is important. Because when we come to church, we get to know what's going on, right? David read the announcements a while ago and what's happening this week, you know, what's happening. That's how we get to know what the circumstances are and the different ministries in the church. And so we take these things and we bring them to the Lord on behalf of the church. So that's very simple. There's no rocket science about, you know, how we ought to pray for a church. We just simply get information, and then we take it to the Lord. Now, in Paul's prayer, Paul gives us, I believe, a broad picture of what we actually should pray for. Paul is not praying anything specific here, but he is praying for God's will. Notice what he says. For this reason, verse 9, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will. So let's take the first part of our sermon a little further here. So we have gathered information about our church, and we've learned that there's a need in a particular department. Maybe there's a financial need. And so, or maybe there is finances. And we heard of the circumstances. So what we do now is to take it to the Lord and to ask the Lord to give or to reveal his will in a particular situation. We ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will here? What do you want us to do? Right? So that's how we actually pray. We seek God's will for our different circumstances. Now, Paul himself, as an apostle, was called by the will of God. Paul did not wake up one day and say, okay, I am going to be an apostle. He was an apostle by God's will. And so in carrying out his ministry, Paul was actually doing the will of God. Notice in verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And when we pray, that is what we should actually ask God to show us. In any circumstances, in any situation, right? We need God's will. We need to know his will. In every situation. What is God's will? Well, God's will is simply his desire, what he desires for us, his plans for us, what he wants to accomplish in our church, in our lives. That is God's will. And so Paul says that he prayed, or he even did not cease praying for you and to ask that you may be filled with a knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So when we are praying for a church, first of all, we need to get information about the circumstances of our church. Secondly, we should ask the Lord to show us his will in the particular situation or particular ministry of the church. Ask him to show us his will, what he wants us to do. What is his desire? Then thirdly, we should ask the Lord to help us to do his will. Because it is one thing for us to know what God wants us to do, but it's another thing for us to do it. So notice what Paul says in verse 10, Colossians chapter 1. He says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Now, when Paul says here that we should walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, Paul is actually saying that this is carrying out God's will. When we walk in accordance, when we walk worthy of the Lord, that's how we please him. That's how we carry out God's will. And so Paul tells us what it is that we ought to do when we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord or pleasing to him. First of all, he says that a life that is worthy of the Lord is one that bears much fruit. So when we pray for our church, we should ask the Lord for us to do his will, and we can know that we are doing his will because it is manifested in the fruits that we produce by our actions. So notice what Paul says in verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. So we pray for our brothers and sisters, we pray for our church, asking the Lord to help us to bear fruit by the good works that we do, the good things that we do. And you know, my friends, that's the reason why God saved us, so that we can do good works. And in all that we do in the church, every aspect of the church's life, whether it is in the children's ministry department or the ladies or men or whatever department, the ultimate goal is for us to do good for each other. That's how God is pleased. That's how we know that we are bearing fruit when we help others. And so, for example, Emma is, you know, she had a baby recently, and the ladies are planning a baby shower for her. That's an example of good work, right? That's a way of encouraging the brother or the sister in the Lord. Secondly, Paul says that in order for us to actually carry out God's will and to do God's work, we cannot do it by ourselves. And so we ought to pray that, yes, God will show us his will, make his will known to us. We ought to pray that God will help us to do his will, but we ultimately ought to pray that God will strengthen us to do his will, because we cannot do his will by our own strength. So notice what he says in verse 11, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all power. See, Paul says strengthened. That's the passive tense. God is the one who strengthens us to do his will, to do good works, to help our brothers and sisters. So when we pray for our church, we ask him to give us strength, Lord. Give us strength to do your will, because we cannot do God's will by ourselves. We need his power. And so Paul prays in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. It is his glorious might, not our strength, but it's his strength. And that's important, because if we do not depend upon God to do his will, we would not persevere to the very end. So notice what Paul says at the end of verse 11. He says, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness and patience. And so God wants us to not just, you know, do his will temporarily. He wants us to be steadfast in what we do. He wants us to continue. He wants us to persevere and not give up, especially in these days. So that's how we pray for our church. Of course, there are different ways that we can pray for a church, but I think Paul is painting a broad brush here for us. He's not being specific. He is being general, because when we pray and we ask for God's will, we can pray this prayer in any situation at all, no matter what situation it is. We ask God to reveal his will to us in any particular circumstances. And then we ask the Lord, when he reveals his will to us, to help us to do his will. And then we pray, Lord, give us the strength to do your will, because we cannot do it by ourselves. And then we pray for the church, that the church will be steadfast and patient, not giving up, and persevering. So I would like to end now by just praying for the church, Scarborough Baptist Church. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are wiser than us. And so this morning, as we have read your word, we are coming to you this morning and asking you, Lord, to show us your will, that you will give us knowledge of your will in every ministry in this church. Give us knowledge of your will so that we can do your will. And in doing your will, that we may please you in all respects. But Father, we confess as your people that we need your power in our lives to do your will. And so I pray for every member, every adherent, every visitor of Scarborough Baptist Church, that you may empower each of us, Lord, to do your will, that you may strengthen us daily, that when we are discouraged and feeling down and out, that you would give us strength in our hearts to persevere to the very end. We pray that you will give us patience in times when we would want to give up and get angry. Help us to endure, knowing that you endured for us and that you are a God who is patient. And so, Lord, we pray that you help us to always pray for our church, even as Paul did not cease to pray for the church at Colossae. Help us not cease praying for Scarborough Baptist Church and all other churches, because without prayer, we can do nothing. And so we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for revealing your will to us. Thank you for calling us to be your children. And thank you for Scarborough Baptist Church and all other churches. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen.